Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Amen. Amen. Thankful for the blessing to be back with you. The Lord has been good to our family through the ups and downs even of the past year, which I'll mention here in just a second. But I do want to say it's good to be back with First Baptist in Rochelle, Illinois. And as Brother Jason said, November 2019, doesn't seem like that long ago, but at the same time, it seems like a long time ago. You know how the years go by. We're just grateful for another day, another opportunity. Two things I want to mention. Number one, Rachel and Lydia say hello. And as they say hello, they're not able to be here with me today because before the invitation to come preach was given to me, my wife was already committed to play the piano at our little country church in Princeville, Illinois. Our church doesn't have any musicians right now, and so our church had gone without Rachel for 2 or 3 months before she had played the last time, and so she had already committed to play the next 3 weeks before we go to San Diego for revival. And so that's where she is at. If at all possible, we might be able to get her away to come, but we'll see. She is committed there. So please understand, she says hello. She misses being here. She would be here if she could. Lydia is already 8 years old, almost nine, and just a couple days ago, we celebrated her second birthday of her salvation. So she's been saved for 2 years, and she is excited about the things of the Lord and a blessing to travel with. The second thing I want to mention before the message is this. Rachel does have 3 CDs now, and so if you're interested in them, if you know what a CD is, I do have some of those with me. If you don't know what a CD is, that's okay, because Rachel is on all the major platforms. If you do have a favorite digital platform that you like to listen on, you can search Rachel E. Smith along with Faith Music Missions out of Evansville, Indiana, and you can find Rachel's music there, and I know that she would be blessed if you would take the time to listen. I listen to her music throughout the weeks. I'm thankful for my wife, thankful for her ministry, and excited to be able to travel with her. But right now, excited to be here with you. Before we go any further, let's pray together and ask God for wonderful things from His Word. Lord, we love You, and we're thankful for the ministry of Your Word. We're thankful for how it speaks to us, how it's nutrition to our spiritual souls. I pray that You would use Your heavenly manna this morning to encourage every one of us in Your direction. I pray for those who are here that know You as Savior, that they would become more zealous, fired up, fueled up for the year to come. I pray that if there's somebody here that doesn't know You as Savior, that today would be the day that either the seed would be planted, that we may well water that gospel seed, or maybe today would be the day that You would give the increase and that they would believe on You for everlasting life. You are holy, and we worship You today in the beauty of that holiness. And we pray that our year would be dedicated and wholly committed for Your glory. And we ask all of this in the precious, holy name of Jesus. And all God's people prayed and said, amen. I'd like to invite you to open to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. The Gospel of John, chapter 9. I have committed that for this message, I am going to stay directly behind the mic in this pulpit. So we'll see if I'm able to keep my commitments this early in January of 2026. It's a blessing to be able to have a Bible before us. Now, I do have some challenges that I'm going to get to for the 2026 year, but I want to take some time to preach line by line right here in John chapter 9. Now, I don't know how your 2025 was, but I look back at my 2025, and it was a roller coaster of emotions. In February of 2025, we finished a 64-day remodel on the house that we had rented out for a little over 5 years. It was in that remodel that I had a lot of mice, feces, and mold to deal with, which somehow affected my body and infected my body. From there, I went on a roller coaster ride of physical health. I had to cancel a lot of meetings in 2025. 2019 to 2024, we would have between 55 and 60 different events in a year. But in 2025, we only had 22 events in the year. It was in April that I broke a tooth out on the slide at our church. And there's a story behind that that we talked about in Sunday school. It was in June that I had four different needs addressed in my nasal passage via a surgery that was necessary that an MRI revealed. And so I stayed longer in Alaska than we had planned on staying. It was in November that I was riding my bike really fast and decided to slam into a Suburban and dent that in. Okay, it wasn't a decision of mine, but it caught me off guard at the very least. It's been quite the year, and just the other day, I went up to grab something in the house, and I slipped on the top step, caught myself two or three steps down, but my left foot kicked the bracket that holds the handrail in place. And I think I broke my left middle toe. It's just been one of those years. There have been highlights in it, but here's what I want to say. Through it all, God's been good. He's the God of the mountaintop, and he is the God of the valley. Notice what it says in John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by. I can't imagine how many times, not just in the scriptures, but in the life that Jesus lived, that it mattered so much that Jesus passed by. Lessons were learned, people were helped, people were healed, miracles were done. In 2026, we do not have the blessing of the physical Jesus passing by, but there is something that I can evidently understand, and that is the good hand of God that is upon me, is upon us. And this is a prayer. In that way, I want him to pass by. In that way, I want to know his good hand is upon me. And maybe that is your prayer. Maybe that is what you are looking for as you move into 2026. Notice verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Think about this man that did not have some of the pleasures that you have. You got to wake up this morning and open your eyes and look at your spouse and say, you got to look and see some things again that God has allowed you to see. You were able to come outside of your home and see the beauty of nature. Maybe the sunrise. Maybe the sun up in the sky. You got to see the splendor of God's creation. You get to see things like opening a Bible and looking at its words. But the man that we are learning of in this morning's message is a man that was blind from his birth. He did not have the pleasure of which many of us have today. I remember growing up at the church that I pastored in Peoria, Illinois, Crossroads Baptist Church. And at Crossroads Baptist Church, there was an elderly man who loved to sing. He was not one that knew much about the right notes, but he sure enjoyed singing for the Lord. And I loved hearing this elderly man sing. There was something about him. He had two songs that he loved to sing. I Come to the Garden, so In the Garden, and The Old Rugged Cross. But there's something about this man. He had been blind for some time. And he always would ask for someone to help him to the front. And then he would stand in front of the communion table, turn around and face everyone that was in attendance. And he would ask questions. Am I at the front of the church? Am I looking at everybody? Things that we take for granted. But then he would begin to sing, I come to the garden alone. He would then begin to sing on a hill far away. He would then begin to sing about his God, the same God as my God, regardless of the infirmities that he had that maybe I didn't. Now, I'm reminded of something. The blindness in the scriptures that is referred to spiritually. The sin that every one of us have from birth. In fact, in sin did my mother conceive me, just like it says in the book of Psalms. Sin is something that rampages every single life that has ever been born and has existed. And because of sin, we have so many ailments. We have so many problems. We have so many issues in this life. In fact, I have a niece and a nephew in Alaska that have albinism. Albinism is that which touches the pigment of the body, and the body is a little bit lighter. And in humans, the eyes are a little bit lighter. In animals, their eyes could be red. But with albinism, often the eyes are impacted, and sight is at varying different levels. Their eyes have nystagmus, which is the eyes jump around and they try to make sense of what they are seeing. Some days they can see better than other days. Some days they look at you like this as you're standing over there, because from that corner of their eye they can see better. At an earlier age of their life, in wisdom, their parents put them in braille class, learning to walk with a cane, and various therapies that would only help them as they get older, because you know what age does to us. That which we have that was once strong begins to get a little bit weaker. And in their case, they're going to face things a little bit sooner, as they are already in a position like that. And you look at their situation, and yet you recognize kids with joy, and kids that love the Lord, and kids that have excitement. Not that everybody with issues has that, but I tell you, there is a God in their life who has changed them, and it's not the little g gods of this world, but it's the capital G God, Jehovah, who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that anyone who calls upon him can be saved. So if you are here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what is your ailment? What is your situation in sin? Every one of us have a sin problem. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so thankful I know him as Savior today. Notice what it continues to say in verse 2. And his disciples asked him. So notice who's asking the question. The disciples of Jesus Christ. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, I don't know if you've ever asked a silly question, but I have had many times where I have asked even a foolish question. And as I was sitting there this morning, as we were singing, thinking about this very verse, I thought about a very foolish question that I asked a man named Jim Shetler one time when I was a student at Pensacola Christian College. He was the pastor of the campus church at that time, and he referenced a passage in the Bible, and there was a simple verse in the Bible. But I read it over real quick, and my friend said, let's go ask him what it means. Now, I'm going to quote the verse for you. It goes something like this. At Parbar westward, four at the causeway and two at Parbar. That's the verse. We went up to Pastor Shetler. We had a verse. We're going to ask him what it means. And he probably stood there speechless for a second when we showed him the verse. And he's like, it's a location. And I don't know if you know Pastor Shetler, his voice can inflect and get high-pitched sometimes. And he kind of looked at us with a blank stare. And we're like, okay. And we walked away. It was a pointless, foolish question having nothing to do with anything else. We waited in line for that. And he also had to endure answering it. Thinking, what kind of college kids do we have here at Pensacola Christian College? How many times in the scriptures did the disciples ask something a little foolish? Sometimes because Jesus had already given them the answer, and other times because just the heart of man, the way it thinks and the way it responds. We notice his disciples ask him a question in verse 2, Master, who did sin? Now here it is. You and me, we love putting the blame on somebody else. There's got to be blame or accusation thrown, and usually it is against somebody else and never against our own selves. Somebody else made us do it. Somebody else is the reason for the problem. And if we look at verse 2, his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? Why? That he was born blind. Now, I have a very serious situation that happened in my family that I don't know much about at all. I don't know the pain. I don't know the thought process. I don't know the emotions except for what my mom and dad have shared with me over the years. But I am what's called the firstborn by default. I am not the natural firstborn of the family. When I was one, my three-year-old brother passed away. When my brother was born, there was no diagnosis for what he had. They didn't know what he had. When he was three and I was one, my parents say that I was about just as big as my three-year-old brother was. At that time, he could hold his head up in his high chair a little bit. He could roll over in one direction from my understanding and what I remember. I remember that my parents said that there were multiple times where they woke up to my little brother, or my big brother, in his bed with stopped breathing situation going on, and they had to deliver CPR to my brother. Nowadays, you have mats for that. You have sensors for that that will alarm you on your phone or whatever, but back then, they didn't have anything like that. They would sleepless, if you will, to attend to my older brother. And I happen to wonder, I've never asked them this question, but I happen to wonder, how many times have they thought, this is my fault? How many times have they thought, this is a repercussion of my own sin? How many times have they thought, what I am going through is because of my past? It's from a passage like this that we have to correct our thinking for just a second and realize it may not have been something that my mom or dad did that would then be a repercussion in sin. Now let me pause right there and say this. There are repercussions for sin. We talked about it in Sunday school. Lust, sin brings forth death. When you harden your neck, there shall be sudden destruction, and that without remedy. If you cover your sins, you're not going to have prosperity. But you need to forsake them. You need to confess them. That's where you will have mercy. I get it. There's repercussions for sin. But it's not my job to walk into a hospital room and look at a person who's injured or diseased and say, what did you do against God that brings you to this hospital bed? I don't know if you've ever had those thoughts before, but I guarantee it, if there's any bit of flesh coming out of you or human coming out of you, you've at least had a little bit of a thought about it, and the disciples did too. There's got to be a human error as to why this man was born blind. And maybe they're asking the question concerning the parents, because this is obviously maybe something that they did, and that's why their child was born blind. Or maybe they're thinking this man was born blind because God knew that later on in his life he would have sin. I don't know how they're thinking, but they're thinking sin has caused this from an individual's life. Now, no doubt in this life, there will be struggles and issues all because of sin. Sin has that curse, and that curse has brought mankind down. Yes, that is understood. And I am so thankful that one of these days, as John the Revelator said, there's going to be a new heaven and a new Jerusalem descend from heaven out of God, and there'll be no pain. There'll be no more death. The former things are passed away, and what a wonderful day that is going to be. The infirmities wiped away from mankind by the power of our holy God. But I want you to see in verse 3 how Jesus answered their question. He says, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest, should be revealed in him, the blind man." I want you to consider how Jesus answered this. Yes, sin is a problem. Yes, there is the curse of sin in mankind. Yes, blindness is an infirmity, any infirmity in this life because of the curse of sin. But yet we recognize in Jesus' answer, there was something so much more that this man who was born blind was created for. And as you read verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now I need to address something. As Jesus says, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents," he is dealing specifically with the question of why the man was born blind. As an overall understanding, every man, woman, boy, and girl has sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in this instance, in dealing with the blindness that this man faced, Jesus says, "But that the works of God should be made manifest in him." This story is a story of the healing power of Jesus Christ. This story is a story of a man who was once blind, but now he is going to see because Jesus is the healer. He is the miracle worker, and it all points to our sin and being dead in the trespasses and the rebellion of it. We can't make ourselves better. There's only one who can. Jesus, he makes us whole before a holy God. His redemptive cleansing blood was given at the cross of Calvary that you and I could be washed clean of our sin, could have eternal forgiveness, could understand the power of God over sin. And this blind man, he is becoming an example of the glory and the majesty and the miracle-working Savior on earth. And then we get to verse 4. As Jesus is answering this question that these disciples asked, it says in verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, I said at the beginning of the message that I had a New Year's challenge for you from this passage. The thought process comes from verse number 4, the words of Jesus Christ. The great example that Jesus is. The zeal and the labor that he would perform while he had a brief time on this earth. So here's the challenge. Number 1, your mindset. Can I ask you a question? What's your mindset for God in 2026? Notice what it says in verse 4. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." That is the mindset of Christ. The mindset is, "I must work the works of him that sent me." What is your mindset when it comes to working for Jesus? One of the gifts I got Lydia for Christmas, I did not know that this would be like a favorite gift because it was a very practical gift. And in fact, it was one of those times where as a parent, you know what I mean, where you're kind of like leading into the gift opening with words so that maybe her heart's not broken. And I pause right there with this illustration and say, when my wife was young in a little cabin in Alaska, they thought they got dollhouses from Grandma and Grandpa because the boxes were so big. And my mother-in-law, my wife's mom, tried to help her girls beforehand and say, girls, you can't always get what you want. Oh, okay, yeah, Mom, we know. And so they opened those big boxes thinking it was their dollhouses. Two emergency ladders, one for each girl, to have in their bedroom just in case there was a fire in the house. We don't always get what we want. That goes back to Lydia's story. And I'm saying, Lydia, this is a very practical gift, okay? This isn't the fun gift. She opened up the big box. It revealed three other boxes in it. Inside this box, there was this kit. And it's called the Financial Peace Kids Kit from Dave Ramsey. And then there was another thing wrapped inside of there that went with it. And then there was another tri-bank that says save, spend, give. I thought, okay, how's she going to receive this? She loved it. That night, Daddy, can we open it up? And there was a kid's book that goes with it with stories about how a kid wanted a new bike, but he realized that his dad didn't have the money, and the only way to get the money was to go to the farmer and get some work and save the money and work week after week to only get the bike and cherish it even more because he saved up for it. You know, all of this process and that gift I got for Lydia that she has been wanting to do every night, walk through the practical pages that Mom and Dad have, and then she would do her activity pages, it all is establishing a mindset in an 8-year-old with how to handle money in 2026 moving forward so she can be a whole lot better at it than her dad was. A mindset. You know, marriage has a mindset as well, doesn't it? As you remember back to the day you got married and you said your I do's in sickness and in health. And by the way, my wife sure has been so good to me this past year through all of my sicknesses that I have faced and haven't been laid out on my back when she once knew a man that was just going just as fast as possible, doing everything he could to get everything he could done on the house and in the work of the ministry and just moving from one thing to the next. And yet when all of that crashed down for me in this past year, she didn't say, you're worthless, good for nothing, get out of here. She said, I love you, and I'm here with you. What is that? That's a mindset that she has. And by the way, there's a mindset that we have for the glory of God. And I hope that your mindset in 2025 was a mindset that you can carry over into 2026 for the glory of God. But if it was not, maybe this begins a new year, a new marker for you that says, I want to have a mind like Jesus. I must work the works of him that sent me. I know I'm not the Savior, but I am an individual that God has gifted and wants to enable and equip for his glory. So I want to have a mind for him. So number one, a mindset. Look at verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Let me talk about movement for just a second in that mindset. I often tell people when a new year comes, we're very good at resolutions, but we're very bad at follow through with those resolutions. For instance, it is January 1st, and I want to be a more fit version of myself in 2000 whatever. I went, and I walked around the block once. Now I am the fittest person that has ever lived on the face of the earth. That's not how it works. You gotta repeat. You gotta keep it up. You got to intensify as you are able. And yet here is Christ with his mindset that then required movement. And if we're going to move forward for the glory of God in 2026, we have to do just that. We have to move forward. We can't sit idle and expect things to happen. Awana is coming this Wednesday night. Workers are needed. Opportunities in this church for them to continue going. You need people with the mindset. You need people to move forward in that direction. In your businesses, in your life, in whatever you do, you need a mindset that says, I need to take the next step and put it in front of the other. My grandma is, I believe, 93. She's continuing in that age and doing very well. But she has a mindset of movement. She said, Justin, a long time ago, I learned that I just needed to keep moving my body in what ways I could as I was able. You know, there's somebody else like that, very popular, that just turned 100 years old. I believe his name is Dick Van Dyke. And Dick Van Dyke is doing with what he can with his age. Not what he used to do, but still doing something. By choosing to move a little, it helps you to move a little. And as those decisions to move are made, he is where he is at. And I remember walking into my grandmother's house when my grandma had said, Justin, I'm praying about if I need to move out of grandpa's house that he built and move into an apartment, a community with other people. I'm praying about it. By the way, there's always steps of faith that you're going to have as long as you live on this earth. That was grandma's at this time. So I went to check on grandma at the house grandpa built. We would always go through the garage door, walk through the man door that went into the kitchen. But when I opened the man door into the kitchen, it slammed against the refrigerator. The refrigerator had moved in front of the door. I couldn't get in. I kind of did one of these to try to move it a little bit, and all I could see was grandma's body laying on the floor, this time in her late 80s. And of course, you're thinking the worst at this particular time. She didn't hear me, though. I yelled a little bit louder. She jumped up, as spry as she was in her late 80s, and said, oh, Justin, I am so sorry I have the refrigerator in the way of the door. And one of my distant cousins taught me it's good every once in a while to remove the refrigerator and look at the back and clean it out and make sure it's still working correctly. I said, wow, Grandma. Number one, I hope I'm alive at your age. And number two, I hope I'm still moving. Of course, if you just heard my past year of how things went for me, I'm probably not going to make it too far unless somebody in here wraps me in bubble wrap, okay? Moving as you can. My daughter right now is going through some eye therapy things because she had somebody notice in the medical field that as Lydia's eyes would move, they would jump a little bit. And so they're trying to correct it through something called vision therapy. So she goes to vision therapy on Fridays when we are home, and as she goes, they do different things, and she brings things home. Like right now, she has a ball attached to a string, and the ball has letters and numbers on it, and I'm supposed to take that ball and let it go back and forth, and she's got a patch that she switches between the eyes, and with one eye, she's supposed to watch the ball go this way and go this way. You are getting sleepy. No, she is supposed to strengthen those eyes through movement. And as we consider this church moving forward, I get there's times where we need to be still and know that he is God. You need that quiet time. Absolutely. Different message, different time. Right now the message is mindset, movement. Number three, ministry. I want you to be thinking about what God has you doing for him. It might not look like what God has you doing for somebody else, but you can pray. You can serve in that ministry in whatever capacity that you can. You can find a place to serve. We were in Abingdon, Virginia, this past November. It was the first Sunday in November. on Saturday, my family and I went walking on this popular trail in Abingdon, Virginia. And we went walking on this trail, and as we were coming back, we found a man that had to be pushing 90 or maybe in his late 90s. And what he had in his hand were a pile of gospel tracts. And at this age in his life, what he is doing is just sitting there on a park bench at the side of this popular trail that is well-traveled by locals and tourists alike. And all he does is reach out and say, "Hey, can I interest you in a gospel tract?" And I said, "Absolutely." And then thanked him and told him, "We know the Lord as well. Thank you for your faithfulness." I drove an hour to the church I was preaching at the next morning, and the new pastor at that church said, "Oh, that's so-and-so. He's a real faithful man in the church. He can't do much these days because of physical limitations, but I tell you what, he's still doing more than many people in our church." It was this pastor's sending church for getting the gospel out. Wow, that convicted me. Praise the Lord for somebody who hasn't given up. You know, there's a phrase I love to repeat to myself. "Lord, I don't want to die before I die." Does that make sense? And that means spiritually there is a mindset that has movement according to that mindset. And specifically, as we look at verse 4, according to a ministry that God has for us. In verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." This mindset, this movement, this ministry. And Jesus Christ, if you were to read at the end of this book, had done so many things that this, the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they don't have everything recorded in them. And in fact, it is supposed that the world could not contain the volumes written of what Christ did while he lived on this earth. Because for those 3.5 years, he had this philosophy: "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." That leads me to this last thought, number 4, your mortality. No, oh, you're bringing that up? Yeah. I mean, I slammed my face against a slide last April, hit my head real hard, breaking a tooth. Something more could have happened. I had a high-speed bike, slammed into a Suburban and dented that thing in. I might tell you more of the story in another occasion. That could have been it. I could step off a curb and something really bad could happen. You never know. What does it say in the book of James? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever thought about that verse when you've been watching somebody cook? And the steam from that cook pot is rising on the stove. It's there and then it's gone. It's there and then it's gone. And if you think about life, it really is short. It's precious. It's there and then it's gone. I remember when I got to Jesus' age, when he died on the cross, thinking, wow, this would have been it. And how many others haven't even made it that far as they've lived for Jesus? And how many others, if by reason of strength, they've been given 80 years or more, and they've been able to live for Jesus? But you see, here's the thing. I go into many churches and I see a plaque on the wall of Pastor so-and-so and his wife who served faithfully for so long. It was a season. It was a time. And by the way, that's all I've got, is a season on this earth. A time. How much time do I have? Not enough. How much time do you have? Not enough. But here's what I don't want to do. I remember where I was taught this in church when I was a kid. Dad was sitting there taking his thumbs and doing this. We called it twiddling our thumbs. I don't know if that's what you call it. And then dad would reverse his thumbs and go the other direction. And then we interlock our hands differently and do the same thing. Silly. But let me say it like this. I pray that we're not caught twiddling our thumbs for Jesus, but that we're faithful for him. Why? Because one of these days, if the Lord doesn't come back, all you're going to see could be different, but more than likely what you're going to see is a headstone. Something like, "Here lies Justin Smith, 1985. And some of you are saying, "Wow, you're just a puppy, Justin." And others of you here are saying, "Oh, that's a long time ago. You have to scroll really far when you're entering your birth date." And then you're going to see a death date. And you're probably going to see this hyphen. And that hyphen is going to represent the life I lived. And hopefully in that life, it's going to be along the lines of what Christ lived. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, the reason why Jesus Christ came, the reason why his mindset, his movement, his ministry was the way it was, understanding his mortality, that his time was short on this earth, the reason why he gave his life was as the light that lights the world, he wanted to bring that light to anyone who would understand they are a sinner in need of the Savior. And maybe that's you here today. You need Jesus Christ. You recognize your sin. You realize the direction your sin is taking you. But you understand there's someone who wants to take those blinded, sinful eyes and see them opened up, like the rest of this passage would talk about. This man's testimony in verse 25, I want you to see it, verse 25, and then we'll close the message. The blind man, verse 25, he answered and said, "Whether he, Jesus, be a sinner or no, I know not." Because the Pharisees are questioning this man, trying to pin some things on Jesus. Here's what this man says: "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I," what? "See." If you're in here and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's one thing above all that you can rejoice over, and it is this: I see spiritually. I know Jesus. This past year was a hard one. Not discounting anything anybody else has gone through, but me personally. And you know what I had to be reminded? That my identity is not found in the work of the ministry, because that can be taken away from me. But you know where my identity lies? In Jesus Christ. In Christ alone. And guess what? That can never be taken away from me.